This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I want to introduce you to an example of excellence, our Hope Award winner this year, Albert Pujols.
My job as a believer is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to do the best that I can to represent Jesus Christ.
We'll stand where the Lord wants us to stand, and He'll provide the people if it's what's supposed to happen. See what the Lord is putting in front of you now.
I was reminded of a passage from the book of Job. There is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
They used to call it living in sin. You can't call it that anymore, and not in polite company. Now it is living together, or maybe just cohabiting, if you want the kind of sterile sociological term for it. It's one of the alternatives to marriage. Many people consider it a prerequisite for marriage, and sometimes not just a prerequisite, but as I said, a permanent alternate path than marrying. And of course, marriage is much in our public debate today. We're going to talk about cohabiting here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Mark Chavez will bring us an update on the formation of a new Lutheran church body in the United States called the North American Lutheran Church, an offshoot of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And wouldn't be there, I don't think, if the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America had not chosen its latest direction. We'll talk about that with Pastor Mark Chavez. We've got audio open lines waiting for us in about a half hour. The issue, well, Glenn Beck held his Restoring Honor rally. What kind of a rally was it? A political rally? A religious rally? It was hard to tell by watching the footage. It was well attended in Washington, D.C., not only by the speakers, but also by the many attendants. We'll hear an NPR interview with Dr. Richard Land, a Baptist theologian, his thoughts on Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally, and I want your thoughts as well. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can leave your thoughts and your comments on Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, director of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for more than 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
We don't usually talk about this particular aspect of the effects of alternatives to marriage, but what effect on the poor do alternatives to marriage, like cohabitation, have?
Well, among the poor, cohabitation is probably the major alternative to marriage, because a lot of people in the lower income classes are not getting married at all. It's not that they're getting divorced and remarried. It's that they're not getting married in the first place. So it's not just a family breakdown. It's families failing to form in the first place. And so what happens, Todd, is that when a woman has a baby out of wedlock, whether she's cohabiting or not, quite often that increases her probability very dramatically of having the second baby with a different man. So if you have your first child inside wedlock, the odds are the next one will have the same father. But if you have your first child outside of wedlock, the odds are that the child will have a different father. And so in the cohabiting situation, that's what people are setting themselves up for, because those relationships are, you know, tend to be less stable and so on. And so that new phenomenon, talking about this sort of bloodless sociological term, term. The new phenomenon is called multi-partner fertility, and you know what it means is going from partner to partner to have children with different partners, and so there's no stability in the children's lives really at all. The only fixed point is their mama, and even she's not as stable as she would be if she had one partner and only one partner. So the cohabitation alternative to marriage is really not a very good and stable alternative to marriage from the point of view of children, and honestly, I have to say, even from the point of view of the adults, it's not a very positive alternative.
I mean, today, I imagine that most kind of well-heeled middle-class, upper-middle-class Americans would say, well, that's not for us. That is a little too close to, kind of a crass serial monogamy, if even that. They'd say, but we draw the line at kind of cohabitation in its respectable form, its upper middle class form. And that is just fine as an alternative to marriage. What's your response to that?
Well, you know what? I mean, the progressives who talk like this drive me crazy, because it's true that any social problem is exacerbated by having no money, and any problem is alleviated by having some income. So if you start with something like cohabitation that's basically an unstable form, rich people will kind of get away with it a lot of the time, and poor people are going to be wiped out by it. So for graduate students or law students or, people working on their first tenured position or something like that, for them to say, oh, it's going to be all okay for us to cohabit, we're not going to get into the problems that you're talking about, the underclass, you can say, well, that may be true. You may dodge the bullet successfully, but you are participating in a lifestyle that is absolutely devastating to the lower poor, to the lower classes. Where is your sense of social justice? When are you going to put yourself on the line to do something to help the poor rather than simply say, well, let's have government programs to rescue the poor from their misery? The fact is that the culture that's being created by these upper classes is absolutely devastating to lower class people, and it just drives me crazy. There's a new book out that I'm writing a book review of. It's called Red Families, Blue Families. And it's the most pompous thing. I haven't been able to finish the review because it took me so long to finish the book. I just kept reading it and throwing it across the room, because it's absolutely condescending to people who say that there should be a link between marriage, procreation, and sex. And Todd, I talk to you about that all the time. That's the integrated, organic way to live your life is to have those things integrated like that. And they're so blasé about, well, that's not necessary, and it's working for us. We just contracept and postpone marriage, and we get married late, and then we stay married, and our divorce rate is really low, and our kids turn out just fine. So what's the problem? The problem is not everybody's going to go to graduate school. That's the problem. Not everybody is using contraception as a way of postponing their first child until they're old enough to get married and be 100% stable. People are using contraception to fool around with people that they wouldn't give a second thought to if they really thought they were going to have a child with that person. And people who do have their first child at earlier ages, people for whom family life is the goal of their life and not a career, those are the people who are the most devastated by all these so-called alternatives to marriage, and it's just revolting that the well-educated elites of this country don't have more consideration for what they are in fact inflicting on the lower classes. I find it revolting, actually.
You hear people of an older generation talk about growing up poor. Many of them grew up very poor.
Yep.
But mom and dad were married. They stayed married. They worked hard, and they sacrificed. And they may have never risen above the poverty level. They may have lived in a house that was rented or a tiny little house their entire lives. And yet these people talk about mom and dad as the bedrock and solid foundation of their upbringing and their adult life. Talk about that with a few minutes here before we have to close up.
That's true. I mean, we've come to denigrate the Leave It to Beaver generation, but the fact is that those parents in the 1950s, whatever their income class was, they did tend to get married and stay married. And if they had a lot of kids, they provided for all those kids, And so it's not like they were being irresponsible by getting married at 19. They got married at 19 and they stayed married and they had five or six kids and they took care of all those kids, And so the idea that there's something intrinsically irresponsible about their lifestyle is complete nonsense. And the fact is, what's happening to us now is that the upper middle classes, the professional elites, are basically replicating the Leave It to Beaver lifestyle. They're just waiting till they're 35 years old to get started with it. And in the meantime, they have strewn wreckage all through the other classes of society who no longer have a stable married life to look forward to in their lifetimes. And there's a tremendous amount of hypocrisy, in my view, about it. You know, of course it's true that the 50s were not perfect, but the fact is the 50s were a very decent period of time, and the people who lived in that time and who raised their children in that time, they may not have been rich or sophisticated, but they were decent human beings, and they did the best that they could. And I think it's time that somebody in the baby boom generation showed some gratitude for our parents, rather than running them down their values forever.
So with only about 30 seconds, it sounds like what you're saying is the social elites are talking down marriage, and it's very convenient for them because they can buy their way out of the social ills, but a big sector of society beneath them simply cannot. About 30 seconds.
They buy their way out of the social ills, and in the end, they end up getting married and staying married. They end up doing the very thing that they say is not necessary for other people to do. That's what's so appalling about it. And the fact is that if you are an upper middle class woman and you want your child to go to Harvard, you can't do that as a single mom. You really need the resources and the support of that child's father. And so therefore the aspirations that educated women have for their children require them to get married and stay married, and yet somehow they do not see the value that same lifestyle would be a value to people in lower classes. And that the hypocrisy of that is really just too much for me.
Folks, all social conservatives need to check out the website and the blog for Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is director of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. Jen, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll find out about a new Lutheran church body in North America, the North American Lutheran Church. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.